It's Friday, October 27th. And how many of you remember this?
Aloha from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and I had to share that old school opening with you. And of course, that was a recording that was done by my daughter some many, many months ago when we first started doing the show. But I'm trying to play around with some of that stuff before, so I hope you enjoyed that old school intro. And how is everyone? I tell you what, I'm all ready for the weekend, but I've got a very, very full schedule. I'm sure many of you do, too. I'm glad to be with you here today for putting on a great show. Of course, all of you that have been long-term subscribers, thanks for being part of the family and staying subscribed. And, of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there, the archive podcast, and, of course, sign up for the podcast newsletter. Now, I had a listener send me an email saying, hey, Todd, I can't find the link on your website on how to sign up for the newsletter. Well, it's real simple. You go to the website, and you'll see the second column, the mini column, where you've got all my icons there to sign up for iTunes, Odeo. I guess it's not Odeo no more. They call it something else. Company changed names today. Mobilecast, Yahoo, etc. And right below that, there's a link that says Geek Links. You click on the little button, the little HTML that says Podcast Newsletter right below that, and it'll give you a place to put in your email address. So that's where you can find that on the website. What else we got going on? Hey, I tell you, I've had a very interesting week. I've had great feedback from the podcast that my mom did. Many of you sent the email directly to me. I forwarded it on to her. But thanks for the fine and nice words that you put out for the first pilot edition of the Sherrycast. And those of you that haven't checked it out, you can check it out at cherriecast.com. I'm all ramped up and ready for a huge roundtable on Saturday for Tech Podcast, and we've got one heck of a lineup. We've got a presentation from the CEO for Motionbox.com, and if you haven't looked at Motionbox.com, you'll want to take a look at that website. That is kind of a YouTube on steroids, or the next-gen kind of next-gen YouTube, and we're real excited to have their CEO on and talk about that website. We're going to be doing a little change of pace this time. We're going to be using TalkShoe over at TalkShoe.com. I've been talking to them since the expo, and we're going to be having our dial-up bridge over there. So you'll definitely want to basically visit the Tech Podcast website about 15 minutes before the show. You'll want to go over to TalkShoe. It'll give you a link to download their little application. Now, you can either Skype in, or you'll be able to connect via landline, but it's going to give us a lot more control over the actual audio portion of the event. And, of course, Skypecast will be up as well. But what I'll probably be doing is I'm probably going to be muting everyone on Skypecast, trying to push everyone over onto TalkShoe. Excuse me. And, of course, our online event is going to still be using GoToMeeting, and we're going to be having, of course, at least three or four presentations. We're going to be doing Motionbox.com, TalkShoe, Talk About TalkShoe, Pamela, and Google Co-op. And I'm actually going to talk a little bit about Google Co-op tonight in this show, but we're going to have a full-on demonstration on how to set up your own very unique search engine using Google Co-op during the demo. And of course, it's using GoToMeeting. And of course, as we've talked about before, you know, you heard me talk about it, it's the best web conferencing solution that I found. And you're going to be able to see us use all the cool tools. We're going to be able to record this thing and put it up online shortly after the event. The drawing tools are just absolutely amazing. But, you know, it integrates with email and instant messaging apps, and it's affordable. So try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days at GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. And if you come to the online event, go to that URL before the show and download GoToMeeting and have it set up so that when you click on our meeting link that's going to be at techpodcast.com or sent out up via our mail list, you'll get it delivered directly to your inbox. So that's kind of the plan there, and we're going to get kicked off 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, and I look forward to having a great event. You know, I got home this afternoon, and my wife kind of said, you know, she said, if you're going to hide candy in your desk drawer, the least you can do is to put it in a sealed Ziploc bag. And I'm kind of like, well, why? Because I'll be honest with you, I have a weakness for Reese cups. And she had gotten some Halloween candy. And of course, I can't let all that good candy go out the door to the front kids. So I kind of, absconded a couple of bags and I put them in my filing cabinet drawer. Well, the problem is as soon as I open them up, even though the expended wrappers were in the trash and actually gone, the ants smelt that stuff a mile away. And when she didn't do anything. So when I came up to the office and opened the drawer, I'm not kidding you, there must have been a million. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. But they had found a way back behind my desk, down the side of this cabinet. So yeah, I had to get rid of some of the candy. But it's nothing like coming home and getting that look, fellas, that you know you're in trouble. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. But yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. So anyway, what else have I got going on? I'm going to try to keep this under an hour. So the goal was to get to start a little earlier on content tonight. But before we do, we always want to make sure that you save some money online. And whether you're looking for hosting accounts, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, whether you're looking for domain names, looking for ways to get your site more traffic by using the GoDaddy's Traffic Blazer program, where you can get submitted to over 200 of the world's top search engines. You name it, they've got it. .com names, of course, and world-class hosting. So if you go over there and pick up a product at GoDaddy.com, make sure you use the promo code GEEK5. That's going to give you the biggest savings on purchases of $20 or more. You'll save an additional 15% off. And boy, I tell you, that comes in huge. I get a lot of people sending me email all the time, Todd, I'm using that GEEK5, and it's saving me a lot of money. So use GEEK5 when you're over there. And, of course, the code that we've been passing out forever is Todd, T-O-D-D, will save you 10% on any order. And ComSale, you get $6.95 domain names when the prices are up. And, of course, Aloha will get you $20 off your order of $75 or more. So there's some good mix-ups and different types of codes you can use over at GoDaddy.com. Thanks for them being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. All right, and I hope you'll join us, of course, on Saturday for our live event. We're going to have a lot of fun, and should be a good one, really, really, really should. But I've got a great lineup of information for you tonight, and we're going to start off talking about a site called Green Dimes. It's at greendimes.com. And how many of you are just inundated with junk mail? And you get so much junk mail, it drives you crazy. Would you like to get off junk mail list? Well, this company, for $3 a month by using a credit card fee or $36 a year, 3 times 12, last time I checked was 36, so no discount for getting a year subscription, but you can, what they'll do is they will get you off mailing list. And they're actually are very, very good at it. And I've heard a couple of, recently in this last couple of weeks, I've seen links to them twice. And, you know, it's good for the environment, too, to get yourself off those junk mailing lists because of the number of trees that are being chopped down to, you know, send that stuff to you. So whatever you can do to get rid of, you know, the junk mail in your inbox, it might be worth $3 a month to have this company, give them a try for 2 or 3 months and see how they do. And I have done that. I've signed up for their service. They launched on actually September 18th, so they've only been going for a little while here. But it's a dime a day, and they'll take your junk mail problems away. So nice service, and hopefully it turns out to be as it's going to be worth the $3 a month to get rid of all that stuff coming in your mailbox. All right, congratulations to the folks over at Vox, Team Vox. They launched their website on the 25th, and actually a series of websites, and anyone can go over there and sign up for Vox. And it's been in beta testing a long, long time, and I've been kind of hesitant in putting up a Vox site just because of the simple fact that, you know, how many blogs or how many, you know, at what point do you start getting stretched too thin? But I keep hearing good things about it. And I'll be honest with you, their site, some of their templates are very, very awesome. And they've got some non-intrusive way for advertising, et cetera, on these templates. And looks like a very vibrant community. So, of course, Vox is put together by the team over at Six Apart. And they have the same services as TypePad and Movable Type. And to be honest with you, today I was playing, I had a one of the members over at Blueberry was having a hard time getting a piece of JavaScript up on the on her website, and she needed basically some assistance because we needed to put up a advertising banner on her site for an ad buy she's in. And when I went over there, is there any TypePad experts in the house? I need to figure out how to get some JavaScript put into the second column of some standard TypePad templates. Could not figure it out. I was in there for 30 minutes today trying to determine how I could get in there to cut and paste this piece of JavaScript in. Actually submitted a ticket as well. She gave me her login. She'd been very trustworthy and let me do that. But if any of you have TypePad accounts and you've got good experience in editing those, send me an email. I want some help. Hopefully they'll reply in there on their ticket as well, because I need to get this fixed for. But Six Apart has Movable Type, TypePad, Vox, and of course I run a Movable Type on my website. And we talked about switching to WordPress in the past, and to be honest with you, I could never get anyone that would convert my existing template into a WordPress template. I couldn't get anybody that could do it. And the complexity of what we have on the site and some of the functions we have going on behind the scene proved to be too big of a challenge. I wasn't willing to spend $600 or $700 to have it done. You know, if the site design's all right, they should be able to take the existing code and just plug in the stuff that they need to. But it proved to be too difficult. But I'm still kind of looking at it. I know WordPress Movable Type's been updated. I had complained about that quite a bit. And, complain, and then they upgraded it, and then I haven't even upgraded yet. So I'm hoping to get that to the closer to top of my priority list. It's been way down there for a while. There's been some movement with Google. A lot of things come out this week, a lot of discussions about what Google's doing. There was a document that has been kind of summarized online. Google published internally this year something that was outlining the company's goals. And this is very, very interesting what they're looking at. And this leads into a couple things I want to talk about Google tonight. Talks about them wanting me to have a good AI research laboratory, want to be pushing their ad systems even more, building communities and content, making sure their tools are running everywhere. And look at us, we're using a lot of their tools to save money. They want to focus on innovation, some very good upper-level stuff that they're really working at. But I found I'm on a Google Alerts list, and what that does is I have certain keywords. When a new article comes in with those new keywords, I get an email. And let me find the article that I wrote today. There's very very good possibility that Google is going to be coming out with their own podcast advertising scheme. And I put a a graphic up on my website that says Google, and underneath it says podcast ads. And so, you know, that is my altered graphic. But the rumor mill is really turning pretty hard that Google may be looking to get into this podcast advertising space, either by my speculation is that they're going to open up and have free podcast hosting. In return, they'll stick ads in the front or at the end of content. And then the publisher and Google will share revenue. Some other models being proposed that's being kind of in the rumor mill is that they will target specific sites that have podcasting on it, and then they will use some sort of they'll go in and index the actual audio file and then be able to determine what ads to target with AdSense on those specific sites and sell them as a premium. You know, Google is a big animal when it comes to this type of stuff, and I'm sure that a lot of companies that are out there that are doing podcast advertising probably are not real happy with this revelation, because it really could hurt them bad. You know, that they come out and big animal like Google and says, we're going to give free hosting. And, you know, this is, of course, my speculation. So this is nothing is in stone here. But, you know, it's stone hits pretty close to home with us. But we knew early on at Raw Voice that advertising would only be a small segment of our earnings. And we're glad that we have a software product that essentially allows companies to sell or actually roll their own podcast and videocast media networks through our Raw Voice Generator product. But we'll see. We'll see what happens here. But it's a pretty, you know, it's pretty, I guess the source on this is pretty good, and that Google's going to be coming out with something. So what do you think? What do you think this is, what impact is this going to have? Will Google, my thought process is, would Google be able to understand that they have to kind of break out of their in their norm a little bit and interact a little bit with all of you in order to save you money, give you good products to be linked to versus straight up in your face ads. We've worked pretty hard here to get our advertisers so that the ads would be in your face and with a medium of success in some cases not. But we will see. We'll see what happens with Google in this. It's going to be an interesting challenge for them, and it'll definitely be a challenge for other companies that are out there. One of the bigger followed posts today is that Jason Calacanis from Weblogs, Inc., and, of course, who was bought by AOL, gave a keynote at the Business Blog Summit where, you know, he essentially introduced himself. And I know Jason listens to this show, so if I get this wrong, Jason, then you come back and smack me here. But he introduced himself first and foremost as a blogger, and he talked about different types of blogs, and he went into talking how bloggers have, at this point, have had a very good level of integrity, and that how the conversation, even though sometimes we disagree with one another, we'll blog back and forth, and it gets heated at times, but it's authentic, and that's what's made blogging very attractive to a lot of people. It's what attracted me to blogging, what attracted me to podcasting, is I could just say what I wanted to say and, you know, and also vocalize that as well on a show. But he made a quote here. It said, we're all outsiders. Bloggers have found their own space. They've made it the way they want it, and they don't like it when you screw with it. This was kind of in reference to some stuff that's been, you know, necessarily happening recently, but over time. And he found that he told, when AOL basically made that deal with them, you know, he said, hey, you know, you can't hands off. You're not going to be able to tell these people that are blogging what, you're not going to be able to censor them. You know, they may be under the AOL mantra or under Weblogs Inc.'s mantra via AOL, but, you know, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to censor them. At the same point, he went after the folks from PaperPost, and I'm sure we've talked about that in the show a little bit, where the PaperPost people are not being upfront, and people are writing blog entries on products and services that they're not disclosing that they're getting paid to do that, and that's obviously very, very wrong. And we've talked many times here about the Marquee deal that I was involved in, where it was a pay-to-blog deal, but it was very open, and, you know, we had this full disclosure on the blog post and everything. And that got a lot of attention then. But now, here you've got a company that is essentially using bloggers to deceive the public. You know, so he goes into that topics and he talks about podcasting and how podcasting is going to be big. And, you know, Jason, podcasting is big, you know, and I don't reveal to very many people what the audience size is of this podcast, but podcasting's big. You know, if I sing a guy like me who just has a tech blog and had a pre-established audience can come in here and have significant numbers of listeners, we can reach a lot of people. It's a major, major impact. And he signed a deal. I guess he's going to be doing up to 50 shows. And this is a testament to a sponsorship deal that GoDaddy made. GoDaddy is going to donate over $100,000 to sponsor 50 episodes that Jason's going to do. And the money he's going to contribute it is going to be used to sponsor two girls to attend the Baycrest Private School in New York City. So very, very awesome. Glad to see GoDaddy continues to stay in the space. And for those of you that haven't been with the show from way back, and you may or may not know this, but this show was responsible for bringing GoDaddy into the space. They advertised on this show first, and we kind of led the way and proved the model. And since then, of course, GoDaddy is advertising all over the place, and it's good to see that. It's going to be very interesting to see what the structure is of this show. I'm going to be listening, Jason, that's for sure, but he's going to be doing them for PodTech, and it'll be very interesting to see who Jason brings on the show and talks to. It should be really, really good. And I'd love to have you on the show, Jason, sometime, so let me know when you're available. We'll bring you on, all right? Okay, those of you that are Mac users, the new .Mac webmail is available, and it's getting some pretty good reviews so far. So if you like using webmail and you have a .Mac account, check that out. It's supposed to remind you of the mail application on your desktop, so you're going to feel right at home with it. This is according to the Apple website. A lot of stuff going on in the Apple world this week, some good stuff. Of course, the first Core 2 Duo MacBook Pros arrived and are on the street, and some consumers are starting to get their hands on them. And the big news kind of is that they have a wireless card in the Core 2 Duo MacBooks identified that is going to running a 802.11n chipset, which is pretty awesome. And in that, they're not enabled yet. But once the spec gets completed for 802.11n, it could make your wireless speed as much as five times faster than 802.11g. So that's kind of the hidden surprise that's in there, and Apple has not said anything about it. So we'll see what happens there. Now I think it's a little further down in the reading list. But also, Apple released a firmware upgrade to 13-inch MacBooks. For those people that were having rebooting problems, they're saying that this firmware update is going to fix the issue. So if you've got a 13-inch MacBook that has been a persistent machine that reboots on its own, matter of fact, they're recommending all MacBook users run the upgrade. And I don't know if that crosses over into Pro or not. Oh, I haven't had my MacBook turned on today. Maybe I need to do that and run update and see what it says. But anyway, three big things coming out of Apple this week. And, of course, those two Duo MacBook Pros are pretty awesome. They're saying they're going to run up to 39% faster. So a lot more power underneath the hood on those laptops. And just wait till the Xeons come out on the desktop. So I know a lot of people are chomping at the bit for those too. All right, over on ProBlogger.net, there is a interesting post. Talks about how to generate high quantities of content for your blog. And this is let me look at it here. It looks like a 7-part series that talks about generating high quantities of content. Set yourself a target, news sites and news aggregators by starting a new blog, breaking posts down, recruit writers. And, you know, that's something we've done at Geek News Central from time to time is recruit writers. But I don't know what it is. I get some writers, they come on and they write for a little bit, and then they disappear. And I don't know what the deal is with that. I'd like to have a couple people stick around for a while and kind of a piece of the pie, but it just seems like no writers stick around long enough to let me cut somebody in. But, you know, if you're interested in submitting content over at geeknewscentral.com, I'd love to have you on board. And, again, if someone puts in the time and puts in some effort, I'd be more than happy to share ad revenue off the site with them. But I'm not going to do it for someone that just comes in and writes once in a while and puts an article up. It has to be something that's consistent and on a regular basis. But and those of you that have written before and that have accounts, you know, feel free to stop in and drop something in from time to time. Put it in the link blog. Let us know you're still alive. And if your account's been disabled, you can always drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll get you hooked up as well. There's an article that is in the Wonkette website at wonkette.com. Now, this is a political website, but there's an article in here. It says, stop abusing our Marines. And apparently, some of the Marines in Iraq and some of the places overseas, when they go through some of the .mil infrastructures, when they type in a domain name and they hit enter, the firewall there blocks the access. Now, having lived that myself and having been blocked from sites before, we've never were able to figure out what was blocked and what wasn't for what reason or whatever. You know, some sites you could get through and sometimes you can't. So if you've got a friend or a buddy that's over there in Iraq or, you know, someone that you know, a family member, and what you can always do is you can help them out by collecting type of content that they like, whether it be a podcast, whether it be news content, you know, score that stuff up for them, put them on a CD and mail it to them. You know, if they've got a laptop with them, they can access it. There's nothing like getting new, and even if the news is a little old and it's a story that's, you know, something about, even if it's entertainment news, anything you can send to your friends over there is awesome, because cannot always get to access to every site that's on the net. You know, maybe send them an email if they have an email account. Say, hey, what kind of content can't you get over there? Don't send no porn. Don't send that, because that stuff will get caught and it's not good. Don't send porn or nothing like that. But send them content that they can use. And I mean, you know, podcasts are perfect for it. Comedy podcasts, anything that's entertaining. Heck, you load a disc up with the Geek News Central podcast and send it over there. Now, I know we've got some guys in Iraq that actually listen to the show. I've gotten a couple emails in the past. They asked that I not identify them in the emails because they wanted to make sure that the site didn't get shut down so that they could still have access to it. So, but hey, you know, let someone over there know about the site, or, you know, send them something that they may need, and I'm sure you'll help them out. Okay. There's that article on the MacBook problem. I already talked about that. Hey, there's been a little bit of a organized campaign by some people that are looking to build awareness of DRM-enabled players, which are essentially everything out there. But if you go over to Amazon.com, matter of fact, if you look at the link I put in the show notes, people are tagging equipment over there, tagging them defective by design. And they're essentially, they've tagged the Zune, let me see what else, they've tagged the Sony BDP S1 Blu-ray disc player, they've tagged the Apple iPod, they've tagged the Samsung Blu-ray disc player as well. But there's been, like, I think they said around 440 products that have been tagged on Amazon as a defective by design. And it's been done on purpose. It's a campaign by that website that is trying to raise awareness that digital rights management is limiting what you can and cannot do with content, how you can transfer it, et cetera. Matter of fact, we're going to be talking about the Zune at the end. Robert Scoble wrote a great article on this, and I kind of want to go over some of his key points. So, but it's interesting to see the guerrilla type of ways people are using to spread information and try to get people educated. And even if it's by putting a funky tag on a piece of gear within Amazon, people say defective by design. What's that? And they may automatically go up to their search box on their browser and type that in, and guess what site they'll find? Defectivebydesign.com. So keep an eye on this. We'll see if Amazon puts up with it. I would almost bet that this will be very, very short-lived, that Amazon will be probably banning that tag. Only time will tell. All right, here's something from the Cooler and Cooler Department. Team develops DNA switch to interface live organisms with computers. Let me say that again. Team develops DNA switch to interface living organisms with computers. Wow. A DNA switch has been developed by a British molecular lab. And this DNA switch has immediate practical applications in toxin detection. But in the future, they are thinking that this could be used on a molecular scale to interface muscles and different types of things within the human body, or hook that to a mechanical device, which would interface with computer-controlled artificial limbs, etc. So very, very cool stuff. Now, they're saying we're probably 20 or 30 years away to providing an interface between muscles and external devices, but that's exciting. Think about it. People that lose a limb, that's just an absolute tragedy. It really is, but it happens every day, and people are getting artificial limbs. But imagine, even if it's 20 years, let's hope it's shorter than that, where people have a fully functional limb. They get a limb replacement. Sure, it may be artificial, but it's fully functional and will move just like a regular arm would, or a leg, or whatever. That's exciting, exciting stuff. It really, really is. And, if they can get down there and they can bond this with this is just amazing stuff. It really, really is. And we'll see what happens here. It blows me away that they're able to do this. But anyway, this is over on psychorg.com. I get a lot of stuff off this site now. And I recommend that if you're into this type of news and information and the stuff that's really out there, that's on the edge, you'll want to check out psychorg.com. So link will be up in the show notes, obviously. Okay, very interesting story going on with a RIAA. Well, it's a lawsuit that the RIAA abandoned. And they were going after a copyright infringement on a guy that had been using Kazaa and had been sharing some files. Apparently, he retained or was able to get one of the lawyers that's been real good at going after the RIAA. And apparently, our RIAA decided to drop the case. But here's the interesting thing. When the RI drops a case, it usually will file for a dismissal without prejudice. And if the motion, I'm reading strictly off of Ars Technica here, so I'm going to take this direct quote off here, but I want to give them, of course, full credit for this. It says here, when the RIAA decides to drop a case, it will file for dismissal without prejudice. If the motion is made prior to the defendant filing an answer to the complaint or a counterclaim, that's the end of the case. The RIAA extracts itself from a case and it's decided it was unwinnable, and the defendant is left holding the bag for attorney's fees. In the Warner versus Stubbs, the defendant filed an answer and counterclaim seeking affirmative relief before the RIAA filed a motion. So what this could do is if this guy wins this counterclaim, it could be the RIAA's first real loss in a case where it was actually registered as a loss. And it could be one step towards building some precedence. Now, it really wouldn't build precedence, but the RIAA does not want to have a case go against them. Once they do, then they have it starts becoming much, much harder, because lawyers can build upon that. They get some case law that's, where something was rejected, or if someone won the case, And, you know, little by little, they build some building blocks up and they get enough case law going on that, boom, all of a sudden the RIAA can't sue people anymore effectively without going through a lot of pain and making it, not worth it to do it. So, but unfortunately, what happens is most of the people that are, submitted a lawsuit, most of them have just paid up instead of fighting. They're not willing to go to court and fight because they either, one, they're guilty of sin, or two, they're guilty of sin. So I'm sure the RIAA is betting that most won't. Most people won't have a good enough lawyer to make sure that the right to actions are filed. But at some point, we're going to get some sort of a case that's going to come in favor of the people here, and we're going to be able to start building some cases against the RIAA so that they stop this madness of continuing to go after consumers. All right, I found a very, very cool site. And for most super savvy site admins, you're not going to need this. But for those of you that are maybe just getting started with a virtual dedicated server, or you have a hosting account somewhere, or you have a dedicated box, there is a site. I found some really cool site admin stuff. Matter of fact, the links on this page are just amazing. They go into a mailing list, Apache, maintenance, monetization, blogging, Perl, Color, content management system, PHP, promotion, CSS, robots and spiders, DNS, domains, RSS, Atom feeds, Ruby, editors and IDE, e-commerce, Firefox extensions, all this stuff designed for administrators, tools, graphics, JavaScript, Ajax, what you see is what you get editors, webmaster forums, you name it. This is a great, great resource. I added it as a permalink, actually as a bookmark, into my web browser. And very awesome. A lot of cool stuff here. Lots of stuff that you'll say, well, I found that one time. Where is it? And this site has it all. So, matter of fact, I saved the HTML source of this page to my hard drive. That's how good it is. So, check it out. All right. Adobe released public beta of Sound Booth audio app. Adobe on Thursday unveiled the public beta of Sound Booth. It's a new audio application the company says is targeted to creative professionals that need to work with audio. Sound Booth will target the same professional market as Apple's Soundtrack Pro, but Apple Adobe believes they will have an edge with Sound Booth. I'm going to be downloading this on my Mac. I got this link from one of the Mac podcasters over at the... Actually, it was from SurfBits, Tim at SurfBits. He sent me this. So you guys, if you're a podcaster and recording on your Mac, this is something you're definitely going to want to check out. It looks like that Sound Booth is being developed for both Windows and Intel. It's actually for Windows and Intel-based Macs only. It will not work with PowerPC-based systems, according to Adobe. So I guess they started working on Sound Booth at about the same time that Apple announced their transition to Intel. So very, very cool. And I'll be getting a beta loaded up on my machine, and I'll let you know what I think. I'm a big fan of Adobe products. I run Adobe Edition on my PC here. I run Edition 1.5. I don't recommend Edition 2.0. I just don't, because I've had a lot of issues with 2.0, but 1.5 seems to work good. All right, a big time update on Microsoft. I don't know if they reverse course or if they heard the public outcry or not, but Vista license transfers not as restrictive as initially reported. This is very, very good news. So those of you that are planning on upgrading to Vistas in January, you may be able to do and rest a little bit more assured that you're not going to have as big a problem. So according to Microsoft's licensing department, simply swapping out a component such as a CPU or graphic card will not require you to reactivate Vista. Now, only replacing a hard drive plus another piece of your rig at the same time will necessitate a reactivation. And instead of the single license transfer stipulation that we heard before, apparently Redmond has now gone on record saying that you can reinstall Vista up to 10 times without penalty. and possibly more, though that will be apparently be decided on a case-by-case basis. So this is big, big news, okay? Before they were saying you could only activate it twice, you couldn't transfer it between computers. So what I'm reading here, unless I'm reading it wrong, now you're not going to be able to run it on multiple machines, because I know I bet you some of you do that right now. You're going to have to buy a single Vista license for per computer. You're going to be able to, if you get a machine, it's get to the point where it's ready to, you know, you're ready to chuck it in the trash can or send it down to be a file server running Linux or something. You can move that copy of Vista to another PC more than once, up to 10 times it appears. And the only time you're going to get re-gigged on the reactivation is if you blow a hard drive out. So realistically, if you have good hardware, you could probably go 2 to 3 years without, you know, really incurring any type of hard drive issue. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out based upon what we talked about before with some security concerns where a hacker comes in and makes a change. And it causes some other functions of the Vista self-protection mechanism they've got built in. So if it looks like it's being monkeyed with, it goes into a reduced state mode. So there's really two issues there that we have to be concerned about in the future. Should be a fun ride with Vista. I'm looking forward to coming out. And we'll see. We'll see what happens here. How many of you are going to upgrade immediately? How many of you, when the day it's released, you're going to go out and buy the full box copy? I'd like to hear if you are. I think I'll wait a little while. All right, there's a report over on Engadget. Now, this is totally funny. You know all of MP3, right? Matter of fact, there was a Norway court today ruled that all ISPs in Norway have to block all of MP3.com. And we've talked about all of MP3, the Russian website that's gotten a lot of negative publicity in the United States because of the way they do music. They cut off Visa and MasterCard payment methods. I don't even know. Have they changed that? Have they got it so they can use people can use PayPal now? Or how have they, are is people still cut off from being able to pay for more music on their site? But there's a, this is just totally hilarious. All of MP3.com had introduced music for the masses. And that music for the masses allowed you to listen to tracks before you bought them on all of MP3. And it was using its own form of DRM. But apparently it wasn't too fancy because there's an application that came out. It's called Music for Me. And it allows you to capture 128 kilobits MP3 streams off of all of MP3.com. And you can get as many, you can scam as many music tracks as you want using this Music for Me. So here you've got a site that's out there that's obviously on the fringe of doing things. They introduced their own DRM to let people go ahead and listen to the music before they paid for it. And now someone else has went out and hacked them, even though, you know, tracks were costing pennies on the dollar over there. You didn't pay for the track. You paid for the download, I think, is how they worked it. It's quite hilarious. But, you know, it's a hack that amounts to stealing from a thief. Oh, it's crazy. It really, really is. How many of you out there are using this, what do they call it, this music for me? Oh, gosh. When will it end? All right, Google Alerts adds blogs to News Search. This is pretty big news. Over on TechCrunch, there was reporting that Google is expanding its popular Google Alerts service to include blog search. And I use Google Alerts quite a bit. So that's pretty awesome. Now, let's talk about Google Co-op. Google Co-op is the coolest thing that Google has launched in a very, very long time. Now, if you have been visiting geeknewscentral.com, you'll see that I put a post up on the website that I built this little search, custom search box. It took me 10 minutes top. And what it does is the search box will search data that is on blueberry.com, podcasternews.com, and podcastpromos.com. All the search results will be from those three sites only. Now, it looks kind of cheesy on my site. I've just got the little Google custom search box put in there. You can put a search term in, and it'll find something within those three sites. But with a little bit of work, and my team over at Raw Voice is already hard at work, you can put the search engine on your website, and when you do the return results, you can have it branded within your own website to get it. It doesn't even look like you're on Google anymore. It'll look just like you're on your own website, and give you these awesome search results. And you can put AdSense ads in there. You can link it to your AdSense account. Very awesome. So if you've got something that you are, sorry, I yawned on you. If you've got something that you are really intrigued on, if there's a set of series of sites you always go to, and you want to get searched for just those four or five sites, you can do that. Now, they've got an API. If you really want to get fancy, and we've got some tricks up our sleeve because we're going to tap into the API heavily, and we're going to give all our Blueberry members a real big bonus of being by being on the website and using this search integrated. It's going to be very, very awesome. It's better than anything we could have ever built ourselves. And guess what? It's free. So check out Google Co-op. We're going to be demoing it on the roundtable. I'm going to show you how very quickly, boom, within 5 or 6 minutes, you can have your own custom search box for your website. Few sites have done this, but they've never made it so you could just limit it to your own, and they had limited number of searches, the whole nine yards. All right, Robert Scoble's got an article out about Zoom. He says, my thoughts about Zoom versus the iPod. And some fundamentals, I'll just go over a few here that he has. It's got a good design. It looks and feels. The hardware quality is good. The screen's better than the iPod. Hard drive size is worse than the iPod. Features are a mixed bag. Price in the right neighborhood. Marketing is unknown, but Apple has such a high bar that he doesn't think Microsoft can even get any close. He doesn't know if the software experience is going to be good or bad. Updatability is better than the iPod, so this is a concern. And there's even rumor mills out there that people are going to be able to write applications for it. Obviously, it's not going to get as much of a conversation as you carrying an iPod would, so the coolness factor won't be as great. You know, Apple wins with the white headphones hands down, but you also may not get robbed by using the Zoom if you're walking down some city street like a lot of people are. Integration beats the iPod because it works with the Xbox. So I'm not an Xbox user, so I can't really say. But here is some of the issues, he says. Zoom does not have a podcast client. Zoom doesn't have a microphone. Zoom doesn't have a way to subscribe to Rocket Boom or ZFrank or any other video blog. And, you know, as a prime example, he says when he went into the Apple store with Dave Weiner and his son recently, what was a big sign in the store? Podcasting. So Apple understands the power in podcasting. But here's the stupid part. You know, Zoom's got a Wi-Fi antenna, but it's not enabled to download music without hooking up to a computer. Or it's not set up to get on a wireless internet and download new podcasts. And Microsoft, you are just, how did you just completely, oh, you guys, kill me. If they would have built the podcatcher right into the Zoom and had the Wi-Fi enabled so that you were alive whenever the Zoom was turned on and you could download new podcasts, killer, killer. Call it quits. I would never use my iPod again. Does it work with a Mac? No. Does it free me from DRM? Absolutely not. And matter of fact, I heard word today that Windows Media Player 11, get this, whoever's on the Windows Media Player program team at Microsoft, you guys, something's wrong with you folks. It will not read ID3 tags that have not been written in Windows Media Player. I had a guy send me an email today, said, I've been playing with Windows Media Player 11 and I can't see your ID3 tags, Todd, on your show. What is wrong with Microsoft? All right. Can you use the iPod music on it that I purchased iTunes? No, but maybe DVD John's going to make it possible to do that. We'll talk about that. Can I record off the FM tuner? No. The only thing that's cool about it so far is it's got a subscription feature that allows you to listen to unlimited music. So he goes down to talk about KidsView, the user's point of view, the platform ecosystem, and some conclusions. The Zune is not going to be the iPod killer unless somebody comes around and does a huge hack. And that's what I expect is going to happen. Someone's going to come around and hack the Zune and update it and make it usable and make it worth something to all of us. We'll see. There's 64 comments on this thread. But makes me wonder what Microsoft was thinking here. They had a prime opportunity and they blew it with the Wi-Fi. Just think, you could download new videos. You could download regular, fresh, regular content that's mainstream as well as a podcast. And hello, get a grip. Can someone at Microsoft tell me why? Tell me why you were so stupid not to do that. Does anyone listen to the show that's from Microsoft, or have you turned off? Why did you not do that? All right, I'll get off my soapbox. You know, that's one thing Apple does do. They get it a lot. They get it what needs to be done to make it a good user experience. They use every option within the iPod. Everything has been built so that the user has a good experience. Cannot deny that. That is for sure. And Mac users will say on their operating system the same thing. That's where we may differ a little bit, because I say computer's a computer's a computer. But definitely say that my wife was able to do video editing on the Mac where she wasn't able to do video editing on the PC. So there is something to be said there, right? I can do it on both, but I'm a geek, right? Okay. Let's see, I don't always bash the Mac. All right, Progress is docked to the International Space Station. It had a little bit of a glitch, though. It didn't, some sort of an antenna didn't report back that it had retracted, and you know, probably some Russian Progress builder was had a little bit too vodka the night before and forgot to wire up a contact switch or something. But anyway, long story short, the Progress ship was docked. After 2 or 3 hours of a little bit of a delay, they actually were able to hook into it and get it seated right. And the Progress carried up 2.5 tons of water, fuel, and other supplies for the three-man Expedition 14 crew. All right, 52 minutes, and we're all ready to go into show comments and actually start with some audio comments tonight. We got three, and let's see if we can get this done before an hour.
Hi, Todd. I was just calling. I needed your help on something. I don't quite understand. I got an email from GoDaddy talking about getting a Mobi extension, M-O-B-I. My question to you is, this is the first time I've heard of Mobi. How do you think this is going to change or help podcasting? Is this something that we should be looking at and trying to get on board so that podcasting or podcasts can actually link into, you know what I mean, into cell phone devices? I just, it's something new that I haven't read. Wikipedia doesn't have that much information on it. But can you expand a little bit on that? I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Keep the good work. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for that. I think Mobi's going to, I bought some Mobi domains as well. But we talked about it a little bit on a previous show. Essentially, I'm going to use the Mobis for to have a site dedicated that will have content that's good for mobile devices. So if they put geeknewscentral.mobi in their cell phone, they'll be able to get content that they can read on the small screen. Now, there are programs and there are ways to modify a website that they could still put geeknewscentral.com and still get the good content that you can do. So it's not 100% necessary to have a .mobi domain. Now, I wanted to protect some of my domain names to essentially poachers, so I bought the .mobis essentially just to have all the extensions for the important domains that I had. They are more expensive. I believe they're $14.95 a piece, so they are a more expensive domain. It'll probably come down over time. If you want to, if you've got a domain that you want to, you know, kind of protect, I would say buy the .mobi extension. If you're not worried about your content getting on a mobile phone, if you have no plans to, you know, I try to look 5 years down the road on what we're going to need, and that's kind of the reason I bought it. Now, have I had time to implement any of those plans with those .mobis? Nope, they're pointed at their .com equivalents. So we're going to have to investigate more of that. Maybe someone in the audience is using a .mobi name. And if you are, why don't you send us a, you know, reply to this voicemail comment likewise and tell us what you think. 619-342-7365. Okay, here's the next voicemail.
Hi, Todd. This is Sal from New York again.
Hey, Sal.
I just listened to your podcast the other night, last night, and I see you included my message in there. Thank you for that. I don't think you got the point of the message, though. I was saying that you were bashing Apple without justification. Apple already hit themselves, and they actually hit themselves harder. They said, yes, they were upset with Windows and Microsoft for having the virus available because of their operating system being an insecure operating system, allowing viruses to attack, but they were more upset with themselves for not catching it. And I think most of the news reporting tends to overlook that part. Yes, they were upset with Microsoft, but they were more upset with themselves. What more can they say? You know, are they supposed to grovel and
yes,
ask for forgiveness to the nth degree?
Yes.
They did say, yeah, they made their mistake as well. So hopefully that clarifies it. Thanks.
Hey, Sal, thanks for calling back. And I was just being, just jabbing you a little bit there for fun during your comments. But I will say that I think we'll have to agree to disagree. I think most people were upset in the language. It was in the sentence. They didn't have to put that sentence in there. There was no need for that. They could have said, we're sorry, we made a mistake. It's, you know, here's who it's going to affect. They didn't have to put the wording in there the way they did. That's what people are upset about, you know, and we'll leave it at that, okay? And I'm sure some of you agree, some of you disagree. Oh, that's, you know, let's move forward.
Hi, Todd. This is Tom from the Foggy Podcast.
Hey, Tom.
On your last podcast, you had asked if anybody had used a dating service, an online dating service, and I actually used two of them. I used Match.com, and I used Yahoo Personals, and didn't have a lot of success with Match.com and Yahoo Personals. I used for probably about 6 months, and actually had canceled the service, and right as I was canceling, I met somebody who, this is 2.5 years ago, who is now my girlfriend. So that actually worked out quite well. I don't know that I'd go back to the services again because it turned out there was just a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of people who are not who they say they are, or, you know, post pictures that are not accurate or profiles that are not accurate. And so I found a lot of that, and it was just kind of tedious going through a lot of that stuff. I mean, there's an appeal at first, but then you start going through it and start meeting people and then realizing, you know, that things just aren't what they seem. And so anyway, and I'm sure it's even worse if you're a woman trying to find a guy, because there's just a lot of probably deception and fraud out there. But it actually had worked out quite well for me. I'm happy about it. I know my girlfriend told me she doesn't usually tell people how we met because people kind of give her an odd look when you say, oh, yeah, I met somebody online, because there's just been so many horror stories. But for us, it worked out quite well. And, you know, at least we were both honest about what we were looking for and what we had posted. So I think that helps. But I don't know that you can rely on that all the time. But anyway, it's an interesting thing. I wouldn't, you know, I'm glad I did it. In fact, I'm glad I met her with it through that, but I was just one of the lucky ones.
All right, I don't know if I'm going to get done here by an hour, but hey, thanks for that comment. I do appreciate that. And actually, Angelo, the lead developer, our main man over there at Raw Voice, he actually got married and he met his wife online. So I didn't even know that. He said, hey, dude, I listened to your show, and do you know how I met Heather? And I'm like, uh-uh. And he told me, I was like, oh, that's cool. All right, hey, I got some email, a whole bunch of email, matter of fact. I got an email from Neil. He says, hey, Todd, I know you don't regularly listen to any of the Twit podcasts, but you should listen to This Week in Law. The second half was very compelling and well worth the listen, even though the quality of the audio is a bit off. Thanks for that, Neil. I'll definitely check it out, and hopefully it's got some good juicy tidbits in there. Got an email from Timothy. Hey, Timothy, I think we talked about DVD John in breaking the crack in the iPod and with the iTunes playback stuff. So I think we covered that in the last show. Thanks for that link as well. All right, I got an email from Eli, and I want to thank Eli for sending the email. I have to be a little careful with some of the content you put in here, Eli, but I want to thank you for your comments on fries. And, of course, thanks for being a listener for a year from the show. Eli talks about how the wages at Fry's, especially the store in San Jose, which is in Campbell, is pretty low. And the dollar range he quotes here is $6 to $7 an hour. Now, of course, I don't have any way to verify that, but he says the reason the prices are so low there is because of the way they treat their employees. Now, again, you know, Eli, I'll take your email for on face value here. But it does seem a little low that they would, seems like they'd be paying more than that. But, you know, stranger things have happened, but it is something to be aware of. I wonder what they pay at some of the other, like CompUSA's and some of those other companies. I wonder what they pay per hour. That'd be nice to know. Okay, I got an email from Steven. He said that you mentioned MediaFire.com and show 210 and wondered what the catch was. He said he wasn't familiar with MediaFire, but he uses a service called FileLabs.net. And they, the church he attends records the services and uploads them to File Labs and then link to them from the church website. One thing I did notice about the MediaFire, I uploaded a sample file up to it. They give you a hyperlink, but it only can be used one time and then it's dead. You can't use the same hyperlink over again. You have to go to their site and you look at their ads on the site. So I'm removing MediaFire as any, it's just too hard to use. And the catch is they want you to come to your website and come to their website and see the banner ads. Got an email from John. John already talked about the network aware storage devices that were a bit torn aware. Thanks for that link as well. Got an email from Chip. Hey Chip, thanks for your comments. I do appreciate that. And he says, I have a question. Some podcasts go 3 months or greater to discuss somebody on the inside that might be snatching up domains when people search for their availability, whatever become of that. You know, that was brought up by, that was blogged a pretty widespread, and I haven't heard anything on that later. And essentially, but what it is people are essentially, they're grabbing up domains and then keeping them for 3 or 4 days, whatever the amount of time that they're allowed to have them without some sort of a payment method going down. Well, I'll have to find that article on that Bob Parsons put up and link you to that and show you that. I haven't heard an update. He says, similar question, is there a market for buying and selling domain names? You referenced that you have several hundred that you mentioned your mom bought five. Just interested. The ones I use, I've bought not as a resale thing. I've used them as speculation in sites that we're wanting to roll out. And when you buy all the iterations of them, if you take and think about that, five or six domains, you know, it's really only like 20 different sites. So, and maybe 40, I guess I've got close to 200, 186. But, you know, I have not sold anything via auction. People do. They make money on it. I've heard some stories of people making big money on it. And I think it's one of those things. It's how much you want to risk because some of these domain names are not cheap that they're selling out there. I got an email from Jason. He wants to know what type of timer I use. I use a physical timer for my Wi-Fi. It's one of those clock-based ones that switches the power off. So that's the type of timer I use. And I think that's it. Gosh, a minute, hour and three. I tried. I really did. I really tried. But hey, folks, thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for being part of the family here, of course. And I had some more emails. I need to wrap it up now. But thanks for being here. And, of course, we'll be back with you next Tuesday with another show. Send your comments to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. And, of course, all your email comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. I want to thank you all. Hey, come see us on Saturday, okay? Come hang out at the roundtable. Should be some very cool stuff. Just an hour of your time. If you can't make it, don't worry. We'll have the video up for you. Usually I put it up the next day. And that gets, believe it or not, that video gets downloaded 20 to 25,000 times after we put it up online. The shows are really attended by, you know, 20 to 30 people. But, boy, when we put that thing up, it gets hammered hard. So come join us, and we hope that we'll hope to see you then. But anyway, take care, and until Tuesday, or actually until Saturday for some of you, aloha.